Hey, look at this, green screen. How cool is that? There is admittedly some novelty factor to the green screen, and I have been having a lot of fun mucking around with, particularly with Zoom, which makes it really easy to do like green screen stuff on the fly. As I'm recording this now, I'm recording it on my iPhone, and I can only see a green screen. I'm still deciding exactly what picture I'm going to put in the back with Premiere. I did just actually try sucking a sample video into Premiere, editing out the green, and it looks pretty awesome. Now, what I thought I'd try and show you is what this green screen is, because this one is particularly epic. So I've got this one. Scott Helm got himself a green sheet, which does actually work pretty well. I'm going to refer back to that video in just a moment. But this is a green screen from a company called Elgato. They do a bunch of gaming stuff. They do really cool like key lights as well. I already had key lights, so I don't have those. But check this out. Because the whole thing sort of folds down into like this metal container, and you can put it all the way down, clip the container, and then just like pick it up, walk wherever you want to go. And then the whole thing, just like with one finger, all pops back up. Now, the only sort of issue I have with it is it's not particularly wide. I think it was about 180 centimeters wide or something. So as I'm recording this, when you watch this, it'll look fine, but I can just see blanks from about there and blanks from about there. When I say blanks, I can actually see the back wall. So, you know, okay, it could probably have been a little bit wider, but it's okay because I can crop that video once it comes into Premiere. And when I'm doing this in Zoom, then I literally zoom with my Logitech software and it works fine. So why do we get these? And what have I been doing this week? Because it has been a kind of crazy week. So Monday, Scott and I did our Cyberbroken talk online, and I'm just going to scroll down to see how long this ended up being. So this is sort of the talk that he and I have done many times before in person. You know when we used to do things in person? I know. It was nice. We just don't know when we're going to do it again. So we took it online, and it was hilarious. It was really, really good fun online. And if I just go through and have a look at the total duration without actually playing the video, 2 hours and 56 minutes. Holy crap. Wow. So we went nearly 3 hours in my evening, very first thing in his morning, doing the Cyberbroken video. And look, even if you just watch the first 5 minutes, it's just really funny looking at the green screen and particularly the stuff Scott was doing with like his invisibility cloak. And then we did talk about a whole bunch of InfoSec stuff too. And what I really, really love about that video that we did is the number of people going, hey, it's nice just to have a laugh and see some stuff that's fun. So thank you for everyone that joined into that, because we did have a bit of interaction too. Now, speaking of Scott, if I turn my speakers up.
So, you know, my name wouldn't have been leaked in my email. So we actually came.
That is Scott running Hack Yourself First. So, as I have mentioned multiple times before, we are running multiple online Hack Yourself First workshops. So as at this moment right now at 9:40 in the morning on my end, Scott is running Hack Yourself First on the Australia Friendly time zone. He's doing the first sessions in the day. I'm doing the second session. So yesterday he did the first half of the day. We then spent the lunch hour having a chat between him and I and the other participants, and it was good fun. We've actually got a few people here that aren't from Australia that are on completely other time zones in North America as well. So we're doing stuff like, let me go and show you a big spider. So I'm like walking around the house going, yeah, check out this little beauty here and this one there. And look at this, it's sunshine, Scott. Isn't that amazing? So we had a little bit of fun out of that, and it has actually gone really, really well. I'm super happy with that. So the workshop's been great. Scott's doing this session. I got to jump back in bang on 2 hours from now, do the last half of the day, and then we're doing virtual beers at the end. So when we finish, I'll stick around, have a couple of beers, and whoever else is left and wants to talk or ask any questions, we're basically just trying to take what we would have done online, let me rephrase that, what we would have done in person, and move it online. And the social aspect of conferences, honestly, is the biggest thing that I'm conscious we potentially lose, when we put the whole thing online. So by trying to do the virtual beers, and whether that be beers or soft drinks or whatever it is that you like, cups of tea, depending on where you are in the world at that time of day, is fine. I think it's just really, really important that we don't lose that human interaction and the things that make it more than just about the content. So that is Hack Yourself First in Australia. Now, we're doing the whole thing again next week in Copenhagen. In Copenhagen, which of course won't be in Copenhagen. I have already got my Copenhagen backdrop ready to go on my green screen. I was actually trying to find some photos of me in Copenhagen, like IRL, just to actually make it a bit of fun. And it was like September that I was there, and I was like, holy shit, that just feels like yesterday. And then suddenly I just have no idea when I'm going to be back there, which is, you know, kind of a little bit sad. But, you know, by the same token, this is the world that we're living in for the moment. So we're going to make the most of it. So Copenhagen is going to be next week. I will link to all these things in my blog post here as well, the blog post that accompanies this video. So again, all online, loads of tickets there if you want to jump in on that. Someone made a really dickish comment on Twitter the other day because we kept sort of promoting the event. So like, oh, wow, you know, $800 it is in Australia plus GST. That's really expensive. No wonder you're not selling tickets. It's like, it's virtual. We don't have a capacity on the room. I think there's a point where we'd go, okay, it's just getting a little bit silly now, but we don't have to fit all the people in the room. And incidentally, that price is still less than half of what it would cost in person. We'd normally have about 30 people or something. So, you know, there you go. All right, so we're doing Copenhagen, and then later in April, we are also doing Porto as well. So we're going to have two events, friendly to European time zones, coming up in April. Loads of tickets still available for those because, again, we don't have to fit you all in a room. All right, so that is a combination of Cyberbroken and, of course, the workshops that are coming up. A couple of other things this week. So what else have we been doing this week? Coding with Ari. So this has been a very, very busy week. So Ari, my 10-year-old son, who was increasingly coming with me around the world to events and doing talks and things like this, is now homebound. And he's homebound like many other kids. His school officially went to a combination of classroom and online learning this week. So now he is doing the online piece. Obviously, I have the luxury of being at home because this is the nature of what I do. I've always been at home, unless I've actually been traveling to an event. So when I say always, it's what, 5 years now since I've had my joyful, joyful life of independence. Really interested to see how that green screen works through a glass coffee mug. I wonder if Premiere is going to be able to fix that up. Mental note to self, this is at about the 8-minute mark. I'm really interested to see how well that works. Anyway, see, while I'm there, just to really mess with it, I wonder if that works. Totally different topic. We'll see what that looks like when I render it up later on. 8-minute mark, Troy. So Ari has been at home. He's been sitting there with his laptop, and I got to say, like, I'm massively impressed at how quickly schools have actually been able to, or certainly his school has been able to make this work, and how well the boys have been doing at adjusting to it. He's at a boys' school, so I can say that. And it's just been interesting to see him like sit there with his laptop. He's got a desk in his room, proper chair, all this sort of stuff. He can close the door. And he's literally doing 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which is not that far off a normal, you know, adult kind of work day as well. And the kids have been there on video. They've been engaging well with the teacher. I have laughed at some of the challenges that everyone has been having in terms of actually figuring out how to do effectively the same thing that I've been doing for the last 15 years now, which is having a lot of remote meetings. Because even before my joyful life of independence, I was responsible for a big chunk of the world where we weren't always in the same place. We were most of the time meeting online. And it's, you know, you sort of see these jokes about the canonical teleconference meeting. It's like someone's dog's barking in the background. Can you please mute your phone? Are you there yet? Can you hear me? Yeah, well, I saw one kid, his dad's like walking around in the background having a business meeting on the phone. You can hear every word. And it's like, you guys, you're doing well, but I think this will take a little bit of refinement yet. The teacher was playing like Beethoven or something in the background while she was waiting for the boys to come in. But because it was just far enough out of range and the video conferencing software they were using was obviously trying to figure out whether you were speaking or not, it kept cutting out and cutting back in. It's like, you actually don't need background music for a video conference. Not sure if I'm meant to be telling his teacher what to do or not, but we had a laugh. Anyway, I think under the circumstances, an amazing job. We do obviously have to start getting used to this. I massively highly doubt that after the Easter holidays, which will kick off in about a week here, and then the kids will have about 2 weeks off, I can't see any way in the world they're going to be back at school at that time. But I'm also really impressed to see this working the way it is. So Positive thoughts. Positive thoughts. All right. So he's been at home doing that. I have really wanted to continue doing more and more coding things with him. And as I find myself stuck at home more often as well, I've been looking at new software, new products, new ways for me to produce content remotely too, hence partly the green screen. So we started using OBS to broadcast live to YouTube. That was a learning experience. Super cool software though. It is very clever. I just had to sort of wrap my head around all these things. This is what people tend to use for Twitch streaming, for live games, things like that. So anyway, we got to grips with that and we've done 4 days of RE coding. I had wanted to do 5. We're just not going to be able to do today due to a combination of me running the workshop and then him doing his schooling and then other commitments. So unfortunately, it's going to be 4 days of RE coding. But we did day one. We did about an hour with him running code.org, live streamed. Had a few questions come through as well, which was cool. Next day, we did almost an hour of code combat. This was like introducing kids to a lot of the concepts that are involved in coding. Day 3, we did code combat web development. Now, we had to pay money for this. So we paid $99 for lifetime access, which I reckon is an absolute bargain for given how much time he is going to spend on this thing. He will burn days and days on this over, I guess, lifetime. But it was really cool, actually, because you go into Code Combat and it's like there's a canvas over this side where, let's say an IDE over this side where you're actually writing your code, and there's a canvas over the other side where it's rendering it. So, you know, as you create like heading tags and ordered lists and things like this, you see them rendered. Loads of good tips to help kids get started on it. I was just super, super impressed at how they present it. The challenge that I have is just getting him to remember things. It's like, okay, mate, what's a P tag? And he's thinking about, oh, what is it? How do you close a P tag? And I think it's just one of those sort of repetition things with kids where you just got to drill it over and over and over again. So then day 4, which we ended up doing late yesterday after he'd done a day of school and I'd done a bunch of workshop and everything, we were using Visual Studio Code, continuing to build the website that he started building 1.5 years ago. So he actually got to go off to another school and do a day of web development. And I always thought at the time, I thought, oh, they're going to go and they're going to do draggy droppy everywhere. But he came home with pages and pages of handwritten HTML notes in pencil. And when I say HTML notes, it's like proper tags. He's like literally writing open brace, HTML, open angle bracket, HTML, you know, head, body, da 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 da. I was like, I'm pretty impressed. We should go and build actual web pages instead, which is what we've been doing. So Visual Studio Code is awesome for that because it's super, super simple. I was previously starting to get him a little bit involved in some of the autocomplete and IntelliSense and stuff like that. Yesterday when we were on the live stream, because he hadn't touched it for quite a while, I was like, look, just write the tags. A few people in the live stream were like, you know, you can make this faster by doing this and doing that. It's like, yes, we're just trying to give kids little bits of concepts at a time. So anyway, he's got Visual Studio Code. He's building this web page and he's just like, superheroes he likes and then embedded YouTube videos and links off to their Wikipedia page or something like that, which is fine. And this in many ways is the same sort of thing as what Code Combat and Code.org are about, where it's like find something that kids already like, superheroes, and then get them to build things around that. Because as he's building it, he's like, he's not just looking at the ordered list and the list items and things like that. He's going, oh, Juggernaut, like I really like Juggernaut. Let's find a video of Juggernaut. So anyway, look, I think that that's fantastic for kids. We are all trying to innovate a little bit at the moment in terms of how we actually get kids involved in things, how we keep them entertained whilst they're at home. I genuinely look at this sort of isolation period as an opportunity for all of us, an opportunity for him to get better at what he does and for me to try new stuff like the green screen and OBS and doing a whole lot of Zoom stuff and more remote workshops. So trying to find the good in all of this. All right, that's Ari. Now, another thing that I think is particularly good this week that I'm super, super excited to announce is the USA government coming on to Have I Been Pwned. Now, they are actually, oh boy, they're the 7th or the 9th government. I lose track. If I go to my government tag, what do we got in chronological order? We had UK, Australia, Spain, Austria, Ireland, Norway, Switzerland, Denmark, USA. 9th government on board. So they are the ninth government to come on board to Have I Been Pwned. So in one regard, they're just one of a string of different governments, which is great. Of course, another regard, it is a very big government. the predominant percentage of my audience does come from the US, or the largest one single percentage, I guess, is from the US, which, of course, this is the nature of the internet. It is very US-centric. So I'm really, really happy to have those folks on board. So they're on board courtesy of their Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, which is called CISA, which is actually a part of their Department of Homeland Security agency as well. Everyone I've spoken to there, and I've said this before, I don't know how many of you believe me, but every time I speak to people in agencies like this, they are all super cool, super nice, and just genuinely want to do really, really good stuff. So I'm really happy that this is now available to those folks. They do actually publish a list of all their domains. They've got 6,000 something domains that are just the .gov domains. And then, of course, if you consider all the other domains that governments sort of have, there's inevitably a whole bunch of others up there as well, which may well come into scope in time too. So I'm just really happy to see these folks online able to use this. And again, sort of at a time where every time you tune into the news, it's like, oh my God, this is depressing. This is not depressing. This is happy. I'm happy. So this is nice. And of course, that's like free and unbridled access as well. It's like something I can do, which I think will make a positive difference. So that's that on Have I Been Pwned. What else have I done on Have I Been Pwned this week? I have been loading data breaches too. What have I loaded? There's a couple actually. And from memory, they took a while. So based on the date today, there was a PropTiger. So PropTiger is an Indian property management online service. They had a 2018 database file exposed and shared on a popular hacking forum last month. There's a theme here. Exposed data included user records and login histories containing over 2 million unique email addresses. 69% were already in Have I Been Pwned. Now, this is on the public record anyway, but I had trouble getting in touch with PropTiger. I had to tweet and ask for a contact after the message which I had originally sent via email was unfortunately ignored. So that did have to go a little bit public before it went fully public. But I've written before about this. I spoke about it last week. Organizations not responding in time is just the bane of my existence. And when I say not responding in time, I mean like just not responding at all. Now, they had some really screwy things as well related to the way the data was stored and structured, their MD5 password hashes, but not next to immediately identifiable email addresses, but possibly identifiable via other means. And we had a little bit of to and fro on email, and I eventually got to the point where it's like, I'm just going to word this carefully, and if ever there's something that they don't like about this, I will push them to be more transparent in their disclosure about what was stored how. Let's just leave it at that. So the other one here, the affiliate marketing network, Tomoto. Now, I've never heard of Tomoto. I hear the words affiliate marketing, and I do have connotations that pop up in my mind. Anyway, 495,000 records breached last month. Data includes names, dates of birth, because apparently you need freaking dates of birth for affiliate marketing, and bcrypt password hashes. So that could be worse. PropTiger. Anyway, the thing with them is that they also did not respond when I tried contacting them privately. I didn't manage to get a contact when I tried asking on Twitter, so that didn't work either. So as far as I know, they still don't know they had a breach. It's out there. I've sent notification emails. The only thing is, only 9% of the addresses in there already have I Been Pwned, and it looks like there are a lot of Vietnamese and Russian names in there, and I just wonder how much it was actually legit or not. This one also shared on a popular hacking forum. So one of the things that I'm kind of struggling with here is when you have a situation where, let's say it's the Tomoto thing, there's been a data breach. I verified it with a very high degree of confidence. So just email addresses, password reset, hey, the Mailinator ones to actually receive emails. It's being shared on a public hacking forum where there's people commenting going, hey, thanks very much for this. This is awesome. You know, and they're sharing this data around. How liberal should I be in waiting for them to reply before putting in the Have I Been Pwned and notifying people that are impacted by it? And it's the same painful discussion over and over and over again. So my patience is wearing a little bit thin on cases like this. Be that as it may, They're the two data breaches that went in this week. There is always a massive backlog. I'm going to try and work through that a little bit. I just had a heap of stuff to do this week between the workshops and then the coding with Ari and then actually getting Ari working with his school stuff. Oh my God, the trouble I had getting his webcam to work. So I know I'm going back around in circles on this now, but he's sitting there and all his mates are there at school and their webcams are working and they've got, you know, parents with normal, ordinary, non-tech jobs like I have. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to just nail this because I'm a tech guy. Couldn't make his webcam work. This is on his Lenovo, what is it, C940, the Yogo. And eventually I discover that there is actually a physical privacy shield, but that's such a slim design. I managed to slide it over. Still can't work it out. Like every time I try and play the camera, there's a little icon on, say, the camera app in Windows 10, which just says camera not available. Eventually discover there's also a Lenovo Vantage app, which has this privacy setting enabled by default, which disables the camera. And that was turning it off. And I was just like, oh my God, how do normal people who aren't in a technology role like I am and like you probably are, how do they figure this stuff out and survive? Anyway, that's feedback that I have given Lenovo in very, very direct terms. But yeah, look, a lot of the week just disappeared on that. I'm trying to process some of the data breaches, had my MVP renewal to submit as well. So every 12 months, we've got to submit MVP renewal. I've got to submit my regional director renewal as well over the coming weeks. So there's just always a bunch of stuff to do, even if I'm not on aeroplane traveling somewhere else. So last thing this week, blog sponsor this week. So we have got Chronicle up here, Chronicle from Google, redefining security analytics. They've got a link here where you can go and learn about the platform design for a world that thinks in petabytes. And we do have many, many petabytes now. And interestingly, in this environment, one of the things I find fascinating, if we put aside like all the carnage and terror and everything that's happening in the world right now around health, isn't it fascinating to watch things like what's all the impact on things like network infrastructure? So you're hearing like Netflix say, look, we're basically going to have to drop our quality because we weren't expecting to send probably petabytes every second worth of data around the world. So yeah, they're having to adjust to that. Just seeing so many of the different things online which are having to change and move in ways that they wouldn't have otherwise. And it really makes me wonder, as we do come out the other side of this, whenever it is, how much different is the world going to look even technology-wise? I think it'll look different in many ways. I wonder if we'll ever be shaking hands again, for example. But I really wonder what's actually going to happen technology-wise too. So regardless, big thanks to Chronicle from Google for their sponsorship this week. I do not know what is going to happen over the next week. I don't think any of us really do at the moment. But one way or the other, I'm going to have a bunch more tech stuff. If you're around the European time zone or can be on that time zone, definitely jump into that Copenhagen workshop. Cool, excuse me, next week as well. I would love to see you folks there. Scott and I will be doing the same thing again, and it will be virtual beers, and it will be me showing pictures of spiders and things like that as well, just to try and make it a bit more fun. Thanks very much for watching.